7. Teacake and Naomi stood stock still in the middle of the floor on his side of the complex for a good 45 seconds before he couldn't take it anymore and had to say something. He usually found it hard not to fill silences, but being around her made it worse. "I swear it was there before. Maybe if we..." She held up a hand, stopping him. Naomi had patience. Another 5 seconds went by in silence, then 10, then 5 more. Then there it was. Right down at the bottom of human hearing levels, maybe half a decibel, if that. But the numbers didn't matter. What mattered was that it absolutely, positively was there. Beep. Their faces lit up in smiles. Kids who'd just found their Easter baskets. "Aha," she shouted. "I knew it," he said, and they took off in opposite directions, he toward the north wall and she for the south. "What are you doing?" Naomi asked as they passed each other in the middle of the floor. "It was over here." She shook her head vigorously. "It was definitely over here." And she planted herself, still again, listening by the far wall. He called from across the room. "Lady, I heard this thing for half an hour after I got in. It didn't register, but it did. You know how sometimes you know something but you don't, like, know it all the way, and then it just sort of pops up and..." "Would you please be quiet?" "I'm saying, this wall. You are very chatty. I know, it's a thing. I..." He shushed. They stood still again. They waited the full rest of the minute. Beep. There was again, like a starter signal, and they took off, each to the other's wall, passing in the middle of the floor again, looking at each other with incredulity. "What are you doing now?" she wanted to know. "What are you doing?" "It's over here. You were right." They reached each other's former positions, grinning. It was kind of fun, or a hell of a lot better than sitting alone staring at their monitors all night anyway. They waited again, trying not to giggle, failing a bit, but knowing they had 30 seconds to spare. Their eyes caught, both their faces wide and childlike. And wouldn't it have been nice if the beep never came again, and this moment could just last and last and last and... Beep. This time, nobody moved. Teacake laughed. "What?" "I'm afraid to say." "You think you were right the first time?" He nodded. Naomi looked up at the vaulted cement ceiling above them. It was steepled like a roof, but a shallower angle. The rake of the cement was funneling the noise, scooting it along the surface of the stone before dropping it down on opposite sides of the room. "We're both right," she said. She crept to the center point of the room, trying not to make any noise, and waited. Beep. Her head snapped in the direction from which the sound had come. Now she had a bead on it. She eased over to the reception desk, reached behind the counter, and buzzed herself through the gate. She went to the wall 10 feet behind the desk, laid her ear against it, and waited. Beep. The sound was most definitely coming from behind this wall, but the other side was just another corridor, running along the interior of the first row of storage units in the ground level section. It wasn't until you walked back through the doorway into the reception area and stopped to look at the wall in profile, so to speak, that you noticed the extra space. There was about 18 inches more than there should have been between the wall in the reception area and the wall on the other side. "Why would anybody do that, leave empty space like that?" Teacake asked. "Insulation? Between two interior walls? That's some fucked up useless insulation." "What is this, drywall?" she asked. "Yeah." "You sure?" "I have hung my share of it." Beep. He looked at her. "You want to call Griffin?" "Under no circumstances do I want to call Griffin." He caught the extra meaning in it and was disappointed. "He tried that shit already." She shrugged. "He's a pig. Could have told you that." Beep. She looked at him. "So what do you want to do?" "Well, what I want to do is take that picture down," he said, gesturing to a large framed aerial photograph of the cave circa 1940s that hung more or less over the exact spot that the beeping was coming from. "Pick up that chair over there." Now he pointed at the uncomfortable-as-hell metal office stool that was parked behind the desk. "Smash it through that cheap-ass 3/8-inch gypsum sheetrock and see what the fuck is beeping back there." "I'm okay with that if you are." He laughed. "I said that's what I want to do, not what I'm going to do." "Oh." They looked at the wall for a while. It beeped again. She couldn't take it. "Oh, come on, we can hang the picture back up over the hole to cover it and bring in a piece of sheetrock tomorrow. I'll help you patch it up. Nobody will know the difference." "Why would we do that?" he asked. "Curiosity?" Boredom? You get bored, it makes you want to smash through walls? Apparently, don't you? He thought about it. Not particularly, but she was asking. Why did people always come to him with their shit, and why did he usually do it? He was going to get on top of that question real soon, but first he ran some quick numbers in his head. 4x8 piece of drywall is $15, he said, plus a roll of joint tape, that's another 8 or 9. I will give you $12, and we can use a sampler can of paint from the paint store. It's easy. Also, we can see a smoke alarm with a dead battery. Maybe, she said, or maybe we see something else. Like what? Well, we don't know, that's the thing. I need this job. You're not going to lose it. No, I have to have the job. I get it, she said. He was getting heated. No, you don't. It's like a condition. I said I get it. I've lived here all my life. I know what a parole condition is. And I know where black and gray tattoos with shitty ballpoint ink get done. Ellsworth, right? I mean, I'm hoping it was Ellsworth. It was. Good, so you're not violent. Now, will you please pick up that chair and throw it through the wall for me? Please? She fixed her brown eyes on him, and he looked into them. The legs were spindly metal, and they went through the drywall easy enough, and the biggest chunk of gypsum came off when he pulled it back out. The real challenge was not to pull too much, so they wouldn't have to replace more than one panel. They didn't need the chair after that first blow. They used their hands, carefully tearing away a few larger pieces until there was a hole big enough for Tea Cake to get his head and shoulders through. There was a space back here, all right, about 16 inches of gap between this wall and the far one, and it was dark except for a red flashing light at eye height, 3 feet to his left. Beep. It was much louder now, and a tiny light strobed white in sync with the sound. Tea Cake and Naomi looked across the concealed interior wall, checking it out. It was covered with dials and gauges long out of use and cut off from power. They were set in an industrial-looking corrugated metal framework of some kind, painted in the sickly institutional green used back in the 70s, because some study said it was supposed to be soothing. Or maybe the paint was just cheap. Beep. Both their gazes turned back to the flashing light. There was writing etched into a panel underneath it, but they couldn't quite read it from here. You got a flashlight on your phone? He asked Naomi. She dug her phone out of her pocket, turned on the flashlight feature, and shined the beam through the hole, but they still couldn't read the words underneath the panel. Hang on to the thing, Tea Cake said. He put one foot on the stool, grabbed the edges of the hole, and hoisted himself up and through without waiting for a response. The stool pitched and started to fall. Naomi caught it, but not before it had knocked Tea Cake off balance and dumped him, upside down, into the space between the walls. I said hang on to the thing. Yeah, I didn't say okay. Traditionally, you want to wait for that. Tea Cake sneezed 6 times. When he recovered, he looked up from his semi-inverted position and saw Naomi's hand holding out a Kleenex through the hole in the wall. He looked at it, impressed. Who has a Kleenex in this situation? Thank you. He took it and blew his nose. He offered the soiled Kleenex back to her. You can go ahead and keep that one, she said. Can you get up? He shimmied himself into an upright position and scooted sideways down the wall through the tight space, moving toward the flashing panel. Shine the light over there, he said. She did, moving the beam onto the panel beneath the blinking light. He read it. NTC thermistor breach, sub-basement level 4. From the hole, she turned her light on him. He winced. Could you get that out of my eyes? Sorry. Thermistor what? NTC thermistor breach. There's a whole bunch of stuff back here. She moved the light back onto the board and he looked up and down it where a number of other monitors and displays were stacked. Airtight integrity, resolution with a plus sign that's like underlined, plus or minus. Okay, plus or minus 0.1 degree Celsius. Naomi kept the light moving and he read the stamped letters under each of the deactivated gauges and displays. Cold chain synchronicity, data logger validation, measurement drift ratio, LG internal, LG probe, LE1 probe, LE2 probe, LD internal. Jesus, there's like 20 of them. He turned back to the gauge right in front of him as it beeped and flashed again. But this is the only one that's flashing. NTC thermistor breach. Yeah, you know what that means? She thought a moment. A thermistor is part of an electrical circuit. There's two kinds. The positive kind, their resistance rises with temperature, and the negative kind, their resistance falls if the temperature goes up. So it's a thermometer? No, it's a circuit that's reactive to temperature, like a thermometer. It's not a thermometer. He turned and looked at her. What are you, all science-y and shit? I wouldn't say and shit, but I take a lot of science. Prerequisites for vet school. The alarm beeped again, and Tea Cake turned back to it. This is 30 or 40 years old. How come it's still on? She shrugged. Guess they wanted to keep an eye on temperature. Beep. Why? He asked. Good question. And what the hell is sub-basement for? She shined her light in his eyes again. I thought there was only one.